Matthew 26. When Jesus had finished teaching all these things, he said to the disciples, "In 2 days it will be Passover, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." See how Jesus was in control of everything. He knew what was going to happen, because actually the Jews did not want to crucify Jesus at the Passover feast, but that's when Jesus wanted to die. He wanted to die on the cross, just as the Passover lambs were being killed for Passover. So although actually that's not ideally when the Jewish authorities wanted to kill him, Jesus gave his life. It wasn't taken from him. He gave it of himself. And so he arranged it all. Then the chief priests and the elders met together in the palace of Caiaphas, the high priest, and they planned to arrest Jesus secretly and put him to death. "But we must not do it during the festival," they said, "or else the people are going to riot." Jesus was in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper. And while he was eating, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar filled with a very expensive perfume, and she poured it on his head. She anointed him. The disciples saw this and became angry. "Why was all this waste? To what purpose was it?" they asked. "This could have been sold for so much money, and the money given to the poor." Well, in the other Gospels, it says that Judas said this, but here it says all the disciples said it. So you see an example of how one man can put a thought in the mind of others. And this is what we've got to watch out for, because the world is full of bad influences. Jesus understood what they were saying, and so he said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? It is a beautiful thing that she's done upon me. The poor you will always have with you, but me you will not always have with you. What she has done by pouring this upon me is to anoint my body for burial. And what she has done shall be told wherever the gospel is preached all over the world in memory of her." So you can see then how this woman knew that Jesus was going to die and be buried, whereas the male disciples didn't understand that. It was totally strange to them when he was crucified, and that's why he rebukes them when he rises from the dead. And I think that this woman is Mary, and that's why Mary Magdalene was the first witness of the risen Lord, because she was one of the few people who actually listened to what he said about his death and resurrection. Then one of the 12 disciples, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me, and I will betray Jesus to you?" They gave him 30 pieces of silver. And from then on, Judas was looking for opportunity to betray Jesus to them. Well, whatever Judas's motives were, part of them were financial. "How much money will you give me, and I'll do it?" And it seems that he was perhaps provoked to do this by the way that Jesus was willing to see that expensive perfume just poured upon his head and not sold for money. So that just shows you what the love of money can do. It can lead you to betray Jesus to death on the cross. That's how bad is the love of money. On the first day of the festival of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and they asked, "Where do you want us to prepare the Passover for you?" He replied, "Go to a man in the city and tell him, 'The master says, my hour has come. My disciples and I wish to celebrate the Passover at your house.'" The disciples did as Jesus had told them, and they prepared the Passover. In the evening, Jesus and the 12 disciples sat down to eat. During the meal, Jesus said, "Truly I say unto you, one of you is going to betray me." The disciples were most upset and began to ask him one after the other, "Lord, is it I?" Jesus replied, "It is the one who dipped his bread in the dish with me who will betray me. The Son of Man will die as the scripture says he will, but how awful for that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he'd never been born." So it just shows that there is not universal salvation. Not everybody is going to get saved, because Judas Iscariot certainly isn't. It would have been better for that man if he'd never been born. And then Judas, who betrayed him, asked, Lord, is it I? Jesus replied, so you say. And while they were eating, Jesus took a piece of bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave to the disciples, saying, take, eat, this is my body. It means this represents my body. Then he took the cup and thanked God for it and gave it to them. All of you, drink it, he said. This is my blood, or this represents my blood, which is the blood of the new covenant. My blood poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And truly I say unto you, I will not drink this wine again until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Then they sung a hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. So a priest that was on duty could not drink wine. And so I think then that Jesus is saying that I am a priest on duty now. I'm going to go to heaven and work for you. So that's why I can't drink any wine. But it would seem that in a literal sense, when Jesus returns, we will drink wine with him again. And when we break bread, this is just looking forward to that time when we will break bread with him in the kingdom. Then Jesus said to them, truly I tell you that this night all of you will run from me, and you will leave me alone, as the scripture says. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am risen again, I will go into Galilee ahead of you. Now as it happened, Jesus changed his plan and appeared to them in Jerusalem first of all, because they were so weak in faith. Just shows how open Jesus is and how open God is when it comes to plans. Then Peter said to Jesus, I will not deny you, even though all the others do. Jesus said to Peter, I tell you the truth, before the cock crows tonight, you will three times deny that you know me. Peter replied, I will never ever say that, even if I have to die with you. And all the other disciples said the same. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane and said to them, you sit here while I go over there to pray. He took with him Peter and these sons of Zebedee, that's James and John. He was overcome with deep grief and anguish, and he said to them, the sorrow that I have in my heart is so great that I am almost destroyed by it. You stay here and watch with me. He went further on, threw himself on his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, take this cup of suffering from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Now clearly this shows that Jesus is not God. He says not what my will is, but what you will. And he didn't want to drink the cup the Father had given him to drink. Now, this was long enough for them to fall asleep, so I think you can assume there was a big gap between each of these words. He was really struggling to say this. Not my will, but your will. Then he returned to the three disciples, and he found them sleeping. So disappointing for him. And he said to Peter, how is it that you weren't able to watch with me even for 1 hour? So it took him maybe nearly an hour to pray those words. He's in absolute struggle here. Every word of his little prayer that's recorded had meaning. It was so hard for him to say. Watch and pray that you don't enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus again went away and prayed, my Father, if this cup, and he means the suffering on the cross, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, then your will be done. He returned again and found the disciples sleeping. They were sleeping and could not keep their eyes open. Again Jesus went away, and the third time he prayed, saying the same words. Then he returned to the disciples and said, are you still sleeping? Sleep on. Take your rest. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. Up, arise, let us go. Here is the one who betrays me. He's coming. Jesus was just saying this when Judas, one of the 12, arrived along with a large crowd with swords and clubs, whom the chief priests and elders had sent. The betrayer had given this crowd a sign. The man I kiss is the one you need to arrest. Judas went immediately to Jesus and said, "Shalom to you," and kissed him. How awful to betray the Son of God with a kiss. Jesus said, "Do what you have to do quickly."
What does shalom to you mean?
Well, shalom means peace. So it was just the standard greeting. It's like greetings, that's the idea. Then they came up, arrested Jesus, and bound him. One of those who were with Jesus drew his sword and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back," Jesus said to him. "All who take the sword will perish by the sword. Don't you know that I could call on my Father for help, and immediately he would send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scripture be fulfilled, that thus it must be?" Then Jesus spoke to those who'd come to arrest him. "Did you have to come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a criminal? Daily I sat down and taught in the temple and you didn't arrest me. But all this has happened to fulfill the words of the prophets and the scriptures." Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. How sad to be left alone by your so-called friends. Those who had arrested Jesus then took him to the house of Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders had gathered. Peter followed from a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest's house. He went into the courtyard, sat down with the guards to see how it would all go. The chief priests and the whole council tried to find some reason to put Jesus to death, but they couldn't find any, even though so many people came forward and told untruths about him. Finally, two men said, "This man said, 'I can destroy God's temple, and in 3 days I'll build it again.'" The high priest said to Jesus, "Have you no answer to give to this accusation?" Jesus remained silent. And then the high priest said to him, "I adjure you in the name of the living God, tell us, are you the Messiah, the Son of God?" Jesus replied, "You say so, but I tell all of you, from this time on you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power in heaven and coming on the clouds of heaven." At this the high priest tore his clothes and said, "Blasphemy! We do not need any more witness. You have heard his blasphemy yourselves. What do you think?" They said, "He's guilty of death." They spat in his face and slapped him, saying, "Prophesy, O you Christ, who is it who hit you?" Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard when one of the high priest's servant girls said, "You also were with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied in front of all and said, "I do not know what you're talking about." And he went outside to the entrance of the courtyard. And another girl saw him and said to the men there, "He was with Jesus of Nazareth." But Peter denied again. This is his second denial. And he said, "I swear I don't know the man." And after a while, the men standing there came up to Peter and said, "Of course you're one of them. After all, your accent gives you away." But Peter said, and this is now the third time, and the cock's going to crow. Peter said, "I swear I am absolutely being truthful with you. May God judge me if I'm not. I do not know that man." And just then the cock crowed, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, "Before the cock crows, you will 3 times deny me." He went out and wept bitterly.